The promise was given that Jesus would bring the greatest gift to humanity of all time. God so loved the world. The Lord says, I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son, gave as a gift.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter says you've been given the greatest gift, a gift from God. Have you received it?
God has given us so much. Creation and amazing things that we can enjoy. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're getting somewhere.
As we pause to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're reminded of what the angels declared to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. The promises contained within this passage in today's Word reveal to us God's great gift of salvation and the ultimate peace that will only come with the return of Jesus. Pastor Brett Metter will unwrap the true reason for the season. And we're so glad you've joined us on today's Word. Pastor Brett, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you too, Kurt.
Well, Brett, this is obviously a special day, and we're taping this program so that both of us can be with our families today. What does Christmas Day look like in the Metter family?
Boy, you got a lot of time. We have quite a process at the Metter home. It's fun as the time has gone by. You know, now I've got a little grandbaby, little Bo. It's so fun. It's taken our whole Christmas thing to a new level. But our family, we're all going to do 10 Christmas Eve services this year at our campus. That's a lot of services. So Christmas morning is a little bit of a coma for all of us. We're all very tired. So we tend to sleep in a little bit. And then we get up and Debbie, my wife, makes Eble skibbers. If you don't know what those are, look them up. It's delicious. It's amazing. Danish treat, I believe, is where it comes from. But we've done that for years. And then we just thank the Lord for the morning and bless the day. And then we open presents on Christmas morning and do the stocking. So kind of a traditional family Christmas for us. We all are a little bit zombied out just from all the Christmas Eve services.
Yeah, I'll bet you are, Brett, with those 10 services in the last 2 days. And I'm very glad you get a nice break with your family on this Christmas Day. Well, why don't we get started with this special Christmas message called Good Tidings of Great Joy. And here again is Pastor Brett Metter.
Around Christmas, we sing those Christmas songs, and there's a lot of great reminders. But I do wonder sometimes if people sort of cynically think of things, well, come on, is it really good tidings of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Do we really see that for real? And I know there's probably some people that are struggling with that. You know, where is the good news, the good tidings? Maybe you could say, maybe that's true for some people, but what about me? Or maybe you're nervous about the future. You know, maybe you're looking at what's going on in the world, and you're thinking, man, how's that peace on earth, goodwill working now? And you can almost become cynical. But part of the deal is to remember what that all means. And it's not really what the world probably thinks. It's what God is saying to humanity. And it is as true as ever. It's just there's a perspective that might be helpful that I'd like to just jump in. I've got wonderful news, good news, and a good reminder for us. I think it's going to be important. So it's Luke chapter 2. Let's take a look. It's a great announcement, and we're going to see it right here from the angels to the shepherds who are watching their flocks by night. Let's check this out. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There it is, some great tidings of great joy. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What is it that made these angels? I mean, can you imagine the scene? Talk about a Christmas Eve service. To see angels flying around saying, "Glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." I mean, that must have been quite a scene, but I'm not sure we could recreate that very well. But it happened. And it was this glorious moment in history where God announces something. What is he announcing? You know, the nominal person who just kind of takes the Bible, sort of like, oh, it's a nice book of literature or whatever, they can miss a lot of the nuances of what's really going on here. When you read the whole Bible and you study it, there's so many dots that are connected and so many things that this announcement actually means But to fully understand it, you kind of have to do some thinking. You see, this isn't just an announcement. This is an announcement that a promise is being kept. But before a promise is kept, a promise must be given. When was there a promise made and what did it mean? Well, this is where you go back all the way, you know, a couple thousand years earlier, and you find a guy named Abraham, who was the father of the nation of the Jews. And Abraham gets a promise. It's called fancily in the theological terms, the Abrahamic covenant. And this is where an amazing promise was given. And that's really the first point that I want us to kind of think about is what was this promise that was given to Abraham and really to the Jewish people? It's an interesting promise. Let's take a look at it. I'll just remind you from Genesis chapter 12, the crux of the issue of the Abrahamic covenant. This is where it's first announced. It's later even amplified by other sections of scripture. But this is kind of the main thrust of the Abrahamic covenant. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There is part of that Abrahamic covenant. Now, those are into Bible prophecy and geopolitics and stuff, and as it relates to what the Bible says of the last days, this is interesting to us for so many reasons. One is the nations that bless Israel will be blessed. The nations that curse Israel will be cursed. That's an everlasting covenant. And by the way, if you track the nations that have traditionally tried to bless Israel, and if you track the nations that have tried to curse Israel, it's amazing how this Bible verse has proven true time and time again. Isn't it interesting that as we speak, people are chanting around the world today, death to Israel. What a strange irony that the world hates the Jews so much right now. And anti-Semitism, the experts are saying, the world has never seen such a global anti-Semitism. There's been, you know, times where you go back to Pharaoh or go back to Haman or Antiochus Epiphanes in the 170 BC era that he killed tens of thousands of Jews, slaughtered them in Jerusalem. You can just find all these times in history where people tried to exterminate the Jewish people. And yet, here's a promise from the Bible. I will bless those that bless you and I'll curse those who curse thee. And that really is an interesting thing to just follow and track. I believe one of the reasons why our nation has been blessed somewhat traditionally is because we have often stood next to Israel. And I think that has been a blessing to us as a nation. In Bible prophecy, we kind of focus on the blessing and the curse. But it is interesting that whether a nation blesses or curses, it is interesting this last phrase is what we often overlook. In thee, the Jewish people, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Is that true? Have the Jews blessed the families of the earth? Well, the answer is absolutely yes, on so many levels. Let's take level number one. Have the Jews contributed to society? Boy, if you know anything about invention and about art and music, if you know anything about medical discovery and science, oh man, I could just go on for days. Let me just do some of my favorites. Albert Einstein and his theory of relativity. Physicist Albert Einstein is the author of the theory of relativity, which really changed the way we understood our universe. This guy was a Jew who was brilliant. And you know, kind of at the dawn of the first technological century, Einstein discovered, you know, that matter is inexhaustible in its properties, which really changed the way we knew about anything. You know, his famous E equals MC squared with the concept that energy and mass are interchangeable. And just this brilliant thinker, it changed the whole direction of much of science as we knew it. You know, and on we can go. Niels Henrik David Bohr, he was a Jew. Theory of nuclear reaction and nuclear energy, which led to a lot of other discoveries. Ultimately, you know, whether you hate it or love it or understand it, Oppenheimer, you know, is another Jew who gave us the bomb in World War II. Some people think that was a horrible thing. Other people think it was a great thing. Depends on your worldview. But Niels Bohr, by the way, was considered to be the only one of the earliest of all the modern physics scientists. He made numerous discoveries in the field of quantum mechanics, atomic nucleus, and nuclear reaction. Maybe you're not into nuclear stuff. What about TV? Are you into television? Boris Rossing, he invented the first electronic television back in 1911. His name is known only by a few, and yet the professor at St. Petersburg Institute of Technology created some of the tubes, the first tubes that we have for tube television and stuff like that. Interesting guy. Still too scientific for you? Could it be that you're wearing jeans right now? Levi Strauss. He was a Jew. You know, it's funny. He had a little dry goods store in California at the height of the gold rush. People were, I guess, running through their jeans really fast. And so he started making jeans out of tent canvas. And this is how this Jewish immigrant from Germany, who'd never held a pickaxe or had a gold mine, struck gold when he made the jeans that some of you guys are wearing as we speak. How about Emil Berliner? I was just researching this guy the other day. I didn't even hear this name until recently, but he invented, of course, the gramophone, the microphone, and the helicopter. Like, those all things have anything to do with each other. But famous for inventing a lot of amazing things. Rosalind Sussman Yalow. Most people don't know, but medical scientists say this lady may have saved more lives than any single scientist, like in some ways, because what she discovered, she developed a technique to detect and measure insulin levels in the blood, which we didn't really have a good way to do that back before her discovery. And so because of this discovery where people could check their insulin levels, it saved many, many lives, millions and millions, some people suggest. And she's just one of these Jews that was back in the science with her lab coat and discovered some amazing things. Speaking of medicine, I could just go on and on about the medical discovery, but one that you guys might employ once in a while, has anybody ever used aspirin? That was a Jew, Arthur Ernst Eichengruen. Chemist Arthur Eichengruen invented aspirin, also a bunch of other stuff. He was also very creative. Non-flammable movie film, acetate rayon fiber, and more than 40 other inventions that were all patented and are used to this day. Don't like invention or medical science or any of that stuff, math, none of that. Are there any couch potatoes here that are admitted couch potatoes? Well, Carl Lamel, he was the Jew who invented Universal Pictures. Adolf Zucker, he was the guy who invented Paramount Pictures. William Fox invented, he was a Jew, who invented the Fox Film Corporation. Louis B. Mayer of MGM. What about Henry, Sam, Albert, and Jack? They were all brothers. Does anybody know what brothers they were? Warner Brothers, all Jewish guys. Now, with this, you guys are saying, wow, okay, they pretty much invented Hollywood. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Well, Brett, are you suggesting that's a good thing? Admit it, you've watched all their movies. You've seen them, watched and enjoyed their movies. But because of the Jews' success in the film industry and really, you know, sort of famous for giving the world Hollywood, good, bad, or ugly, there was conspiracies that swirled around this, you know, especially around World War II and stuff like that, of these Jews that were trying to control the world with all their success financially and all that. But the Jews have been successful. But one thing I need to add before you know, your college professors tell you the Jews are this and the Jews are that, all these inventions and everything they've given to the world, it's amazing. I could just go on and on and all the Jewish invention of technology and all that stuff. And so really, I would say just on level one, the Bible is right. All the families of the earth will be blessed by your people. And you know, when you look at the population of Jews in the world and the percentage ratio to other population or people groups, it's this tiny speck of a population in the world, and yet they've influenced the world almost arguably more than any other single group in the world. I mean, if you try to think of inventions, say like the neighbors that hate the Jews so much, that are all saying death to Israel and stuff, like the Arab nations, think about how many inventions, discoveries the Arab nations have offered to the world, if you can think of them. I was reading about that the other day, and some Arabs were trying to claim, well, we invented algebra. I'm like, well, that wasn't a good invention. I hated algebra. No, I didn't say that. But can I just say, it was not the Arabs who invented algebra. It was the Persians. People think Iranian people are Arabs. They're not Arabs, they're Persians. And it's true, the Persians did give us algebra and math, and that was quite a discovery. But really, you have to kind of search pretty hard to find contribution from, at least to the Jewish level, of any other people group in the world. From the very earliest of their history, they've been productive in this way. But you see, this promise that was given, I don't believe that Abraham's promise, the Abrahamic covenant, was just about invention and watching movies and all the health and science that the Jews have offered. You could make that argument. And it is possibly part of the promise. But there's a single thing that a Jew brought to the world, a single Jew that brought to the world, that turned the world upside down. That's what the Bible even says. Do you remember when the disciples were spreading the name of Jesus and the Sanhedrin said, stop talking about Jesus. You guys have turned the world upside down. That's what they said. And I believe they were turning the world right side up. It was already upside down, as it is really today for the most part. But the promise given wasn't just to be a blessing to the families with invention. And you could go on for days about that stuff. But I believe that it was the fulfillment of what these angels are announcing right here in our text. The promise given is a promise, number two, a promise fulfilled right here in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. For unto us this day a child is born, good tidings of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The greatest gift that we would ever receive from God came through Jesus. And I know that some of you think Jesus was a surfer from California, because you colored that when you were a kid. You know, he had blonde hair and he's knocking on the door and he looked like a surfer, just got off the beach. That wasn't what Jesus was, a Jew. He was a Jew born of Jewish people in Bethlehem of Israel. He was a Jewish Jew. Don't forget that. There's an important part of that, because God says, I'm going to bless through you, Abraham. And you might even say through your line, Abraham. I'm going to bless all the, not only the nations of the world, but the families, all the families of the world. That's what the Bible says. So the promise was given that Jesus would be the Jew that would bring the greatest gift to humanity of all time. Good tidings of great joy to just Jewish people? No, to who? All people. Good tidings of great joy to all people, Jew or Gentile or any other people group in the world. Jesus is a beautiful gift. The Bible talks about God's greatest gift to humanity. God has given us so much. God created the heavens and the earth. I'm pretty thankful for that. You know, just driving here to church this morning, you just kind of have to worship the Lord a little bit, seeing the little frost over everything, just the beauty as the sun's trying to pop out over the fog and the ice. And it's just kind of like, oh man, Lord, your creation is so amazing. He gave us creation. He gave us life and amazing things that we can enjoy. Hawaii, he gave us Hawaii. That's pretty cool. I'm really thankful for Hawaii. I mean, man, the Lord is so nice to us. But the greatest gift that God gave, well, Paul puts it this way. Let me just show you some of the gift scriptures in the Bible. Speaking of Christmas gifts, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's what Paul called it. Now, unspeakable means you can't even really utter with words the weightiness and the gravity of what God gave to the world. His unspeakable, it's hard to even articulate with words. And boy, what a truth that is. That's one of the tough jobs of being a pastor around Christmas, is trying to, you know, talk about Christmas. And you feel like, wow, I'm not gonna do this justice, because man, the unspeakable, Paul was right, it's unspeakable. How can I even articulate? How can anyone really articulate what really happened there when God became a man? Emmanuel is what that means. God becomes a man and dwells among us. God with us, that's Emmanuel. What a gift. You say, so what? God became a man, lived among us, died on a cross, was buried. See, if you're not careful, you can sort of know just enough to be dangerous. But you have to understand the whole story. You know, this gift, what does this gift mean? Well, if you kind of follow the gift trail in the Bible, Romans 6:23 starts to give us more clarity. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're getting somewhere. You got to start with that. We're all doomed sinners headed for hell and destruction. We were all headed there. Man did that. Humanity did that. We took God's beautiful creation and right there in the Garden of Eden, we threw it all away. The fall of man and the fall of creation and how that all is. That's the natural flow of life. When you were born into this life, the natural flow down the rivers to hell and death. But good news. Good tidings of great joy. The Lord pulls you out of that river going this way, and he pulls you down the fork in the river, and that fork, if it is the gift, he gives you a gift of salvation. No longer are you headed down the river of destruction, but you're heading down the river of life, or the path of life. The wages of sin is eternal death is the idea there. But the gift of God, the gift at Christmas time, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, I love that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 also gives us more about the gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, we're going to be giving a bunch of gifts to our family members and friends, and what a fun thing that is. But when you're giving gifts and you're sitting around the Christmas tree on Christmas morn, don't forget the unspeakable gift that we're saved by grace. Grace means this: you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, you did nothing to gain it, but it's God's blessing for no reason other than he loves you. And why does he love you? I don't have the foggiest idea. Why does he love me? Who knows? It's amazing that God loves us, but it's true. He loves us, and that's why he gives us grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Now, the faith part is gonna deal with the receiving of the gift, but it's not of yourselves. You can't save yourself. That's what the Bible teaches. You can't be saved by yourselves or by your own works. It's a gift. You can't pay for a gift, then it's not a gift. So the gift is a free gift. But I told you about grace and God's love. Probably one of the most famous passages in all the Bible speaks of the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it continues in verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the glorious gift of God. God so loved the world, though we're sinners and miserable wretches, the Lord still just says, but I love you. And I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son, gave as a gift. Now, this is the part of the Christmas season that we need to sort of logically think through for a second. And it's really important for every person, I believe, for every person on the world to grapple with this question. Have I received the gift that God has given? Not everybody just gets a gift automatically. Let me explain that. You might have gifts under the tree right now with your name on it. It's possible. Question, is it yours right now? Is it your gift? Well, the answer is no, and I'll tell you why, because it's in a box with wrapping paper. Of course, some of you probably steamed off the tape and you were kind of like peeking and stuff. That doesn't count. But no, the gift, it's got your name on it, but it's not yours. And I'll tell you why it's not yours. You can't get out and play with it. You can't put it on. You can't claim it as yours, because there's a moment in time where that gift is going to be given to you, probably Christmas morning. Some of you might do like our family. We sneak one present on Christmas Eve just for fun. And then the next morning we save it all for opening the next morning. But I love the gift that God gave us. You might say it's under the tree. God has purchased the gift, if you would. What's the price? His son, who died on a cross for the sins of the whole world. And it's perfectly packaged. It's there ready to go. But you know, the truth is, just because something is a gift doesn't make it yours. It must be received. The gift must be received. So on Christmas morning, they'll hand you the present, and then you get to tear it open, and then you get to take it out. And at that moment, it is yours. You can play with it, you can wear it, you can do whatever with it, you can re-gift it. but it's yours. It's yours to do with whatever you want. The problem comes where the gift of God is exactly the same as the gifts you have under the tree right now. It must be received. The gift of God must be received.
Pastor Brett Metter just partway through a special holiday message from Today's Word, revealing how the love of God is revealed in the good news of the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And he'll be concluding this message of the good tidings of great joy next time. But right now, Pastor Brett has joined me. Brett, the message today, Good Tidings of Great Joy, which of course was taken from Luke chapter 2 when the angels spoke to the shepherds. Well, that declaration by the angels contained a promise and a plan that God had for all of us, right?
Absolutely, Kurt. And that's the beauty of this message. You know, when Jesus came, whether people wanted to admit it or not, the good tidings of great joy was for all people. And today, people look at Jesus and there's consternation. Some people think he was a great teacher. Some say he was a prophet. But what we realize is the word on the street then was Emmanuel, which means God with us. God became a man, lived among us, a perfect life, but then was so loving and compassionate toward humanity that he was willing to die for the sins of the world. And if anybody knows why Jesus came, it's so that humanity could be saved. And when you realize accepting Jesus as your Savior and becoming a believer of Christ, that is the most joyful thing you'll ever know, is to have your sins forgiven and the hope of heaven. And that is for all, anyone who would be willing to accept Christ. That's the whosoever in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes, Brett, that verse is all you need to come to know Jesus as your Savior. And what a better time to put your faith in Jesus than on this Christmas day. Well, let me give you our website for more information. It's todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. Well, thank you for setting aside time today on this Christmas. Next time, Pastor Brett will continue this message called Good Tidings of Great Joy. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.